Good morning, everyone. We begin this morning in the Middle East. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, is there in the region. It's her first trip to the region since becoming Secretary of State. And about mid-morning yesterday, you may not have noticed it, but there was an announcement out of that Middle East trip from the Secretary that came as a bit of a surprise.
We're going to dispatch a representative of the State Department and representative of the White House to explore with Syria some of these bilateral issues. And we have no way to predict what the future with our relations concerning Syria might be. But I think it is a worthwhile effort to go and begin these preliminary conversations.
Preliminary conversations, but not with one envoy, no, two envoys. Two envoys to Syria to see if there is the possibility of flexibility in the Syrian position on Lebanon, on its relationship with Israel and the dispute over the Golan Heights. To help us understand the significance of this announcement and the use of both envoys, we're joined now by Richard Murphy, who was U.S. ambassador to Syria between 1974 and 1978 and has been a Middle East analyst since then. He joins us on a phone line from Saudi Arabia. Ambassador Murphy, thanks for being with us, and nice to talk to you again.
You're welcome, John.
Explain to me, first of all, if this constitutes a raising of the profile of Syria on the part of the Obama administration, simply the naming of two envoys and the announcement that they're both going to have exploratory talks with the Syrian government.
Well, I wouldn't say raising the profile. I'd say that it's part of the Obama administration's efforts to reach out and explore what's possible to reactivate the peace process overall in the Middle East. And Syria is certainly going to be, if it moves at all, it's going to be a key player.
Would you say that the potential for movement on the part of the Syrian government under Bashar Assad, who, of course, is the son of Hafez al-Assad, the notoriously inflexible and so-called strongman leader of Syria for so many years, has Bashar really been tested to see what the limits of his tolerance for change might be?
Well, he's been in power now since the death of his father, and that takes us back to I believe 2000. So he's had several years' experience on the job, and well, I last saw him a few years back. He was saying he felt he had ample scope for leadership. So at that point in time, people were questioning whether he had simply been put into the office, and he was surrounded by the old guard that his father had built. But after this period of time, I think he is his own man, and he's expressing an interest in improved relations with the West, and he's been going through peace talks indirectly with Israel under Turkish sponsorship for the past year or more.
Explain to me the significance of the two big issues in the region that have Syria directly at the center. There's the dispute over the Golan Heights with Israel that undoubtedly is at the center of talks mediated by Turkey that you've just referred to. And what about the investigation into the assassination of Mr. Hariri in Lebanon and the withdrawal from Lebanon by Syria? Which, regionally speaking, is more important from the U.S. perspective as we send these representatives into Syria?
You know, the tribunal, the investigation of the assassination of Rafiq Hariri is going ahead. It opened in Holland on Sunday. That will be pursued. It apparently is going to be a very thorough process, which could take a few years. The position that Syria has stuck to for years, ever since, throughout Hafez Assad's regime, was that every last bit of the Syrian territory occupied by Israel in the Six-Day War must be returned to Syria before he could contemplate a peace and work out a peace settlement with Israel. It's a sine qua non, the return of all the territory occupied. I don't think that his son is about to alter that position. That is absolutely central to Syria. What the Israelis and what the Americans have been wondering is what would be the content that Syria would be willing to put into a peaceful relationship with Israel. And those are some of the issues that are going to have to be explored.
Well, let's talk about the possibility of clout then with Syria. Do you think that the U.S. is capable of bringing a Golan Heights conclusion actually to the signing point? And what about Saudi Arabia? I mean, you are in Saudi Arabia right now. Certainly Syria, without any fossil fuel resources of its own, is heavily dependent upon other regional players. Might they have influence on bringing a settlement to fruition between Syria and Israel?
Well, my sense is that Syria is interested in getting out of the isolated situation that it has, quite frankly, put itself into over the years. It's had very irritable relations with Saudi Arabia, with Egypt, with a large number of countries, and I think that its leadership is now looking for a better relationship. I believe the Saudis are ready to reciprocate. The Syrian foreign minister has been down visiting Riyadh. He called on King Abdullah about a week ago, and the signs are that both sides are interested in forgetting some of the issues, or not letting them stand in the way of an improved relationship. Syria has not had aid from Saudi Arabia. It has had some aid, some investment from Iran in recent years. But Syria's economy goes on fairly steadily, not very dramatic. It has limited oil, still exporting oil, so it's not totally dependent on foreign assistance at this point.
Ambassador, this is Farai Chidea sitting in with John. I'm wondering how you contextualize the U.S. diplomacy in general at this point, with Secretary of State Clinton traveling through Israel and the region around it. Would you say that what you know so far from observing the Obama administration, will they be active or proactive in the region, or are they going to simply talk to leaders and take a wait-and-see approach?
I'll be frank. I've been surprised at how active they have been. The number of initiatives, starting with the president's own visit to the State Department on the second day of his administration, the appointment of George Mitchell, his two trips, he's on his second now, this time accompanying Secretary Clinton. One could say, look, that's just symbolism. The serious contacts have yet to begin. But they have made an astonishingly quick beginning, and I welcome it, because I think we have unnecessarily cut ourselves off in our diplomatic in our diplomacy over the last several years from countries such as Syria.
Well, let's look back at Syria then. Is there a possibility, given what you've just said about the active nature of the Obama style of diplomacy going forward, do you think there's a chance for a breakthrough on Hamas, on Syria's relationship with Hamas, influence on Hamas that might actually produce something of substance in the Gaza dispute? Is Syria likely to be flexible there?
There's certainly a possibility of flexibility, but what will not work is preconditioning Syrian moves on Hamas, on its relations with Hezbollah, on its relations with Iran, as a prelude to any serious conversations with the United States. I'm convinced they would like better relationships with the United States and with the West generally, but they're going to be cautious. What's in it for Syria? They're good bargainers. The bazaar has gone on for centuries in the Middle East, and we are just now reopening it with Syria.
So, at the very least, a good takeaway from the announcement yesterday of the two envoys going to Syria might be, look for a possible quid pro quo, better relations with the United States in return for a signal on more flexibility regarding the Syrian relationship with Hamas, maybe as even a starting point. Richard Murphy, former ambassador to Syria, U.S. ambassador to Syria, thanks for joining us.